You're listening. You're listening to Channel U.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jerry Wills.
And I'm Kathy Wills.
Welcome to the mystery and magic of Channel U Youth Network. Do you know that things aren't as they seem? Are you conscious of their attempted mind control scheme? Are you seeking others to create a team? Are you thirsty to think of a really clear stream? That's why you are here at Channel U. From the mysteries of outer space to spiritual healing, from the depths of the ocean to the heavenly ceiling, to the dreams that reveal your innermost feeling, close your eyes, breathe deep. We are connected to Channel U.
This is Jerry Wills. I want to welcome you to another episode of our ongoing conversations. You're listening to Channel U, where we do our best to give you information that you may not find elsewhere. On this program, Kathy and I are going to be going on a little mental journey, taking you along with us. What we hope to accomplish with this program is to help you understand a little bit about what I do as a medical intuitive, how it works when I'm working with someone. And I think for this program and for many of the future programs, I'm going to be choosing one subject. For example, on this program, we're going to be discussing fibromyalgia and what my views on this are. And on future programs, we're going to be discussing nutrition, modern diseases, the causes and symptoms, how you protect yourself, your family, men and women's health, vaccination for your children, what's really known, herbal remedies and formulas, detoxification, bowel problems, sore shoulders, bad backs, and just about anything else that may be causing a problem with the folks who come through the doors of my clinic here in Phoenix, Arizona, the Arama Mara Clinic. Yes, it's a real place. So I think to get started on this particular program, I'm going to turn part of it over from time to time to Kathy. We're just going to talk. You're going to be right there like a fly on the wall listening to she and I as we have discussions about some of these things. I know she has questions that she asks all the time that if you had the opportunity to hear those questions, I know you'd find the answers quite interesting. So let's get started, shall we? Hi, Kat.
Hey, Jerry. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. So I know you've got a few ideas of some things you wanted to discuss and some things you wanted to cover on this program. So let's move right ahead with it.
Sure, Jerry. There's quite a few things that when you're doing your healings and when I sit in on them, from time to time I do take notes for you and such, and every once in a while I'd like to interject and ask you a question, but I know that you're You're in your zone, so to speak.
I'm out there somewhere.
He's out there, and he doesn't remember exactly what's going on sometimes.
Well, maybe one of the first things to approach on our conversation is first, for the benefit of those who don't know what it is that I do, maybe I should just describe that. What do you think?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Well, basically, what happens is that I close my eyes and I hold a person's hands who's sitting in front of me. And at that moment, I start merging with the energy, with them. In my view of things, the energy that runs through you as a person, through your body, that keeps you alive, that maintains your state of being, whether it's healthy or otherwise, that is your energy. You're like a battery. And what I do is I tap into that. But more than just like a battery, it's kind of like an encyclopedia of you. And as I sit there with my eyes closed, feeling, breathing, I get all these images. When I finish that process, and it takes maybe 3 minutes, 5 minutes, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say about that.
Then, at that point, I'll make an assessment of what I've found wrong, and I'll start working on the person, whatever their complaints might be. Now, bear in mind, I always do ask the person that I'm working with, why are you here? What are you coming to see me for? The reason I do that isn't because I'm trying to take a shortcut. Because I know there are some people who would just want to sit down and go, okay, find what's wrong and fix it. But in all reality, what we have going on here is a time constraint. And there's no point in playing, you know, let's guess about the illness. Let's see how good Jerry is. So I don't do that. Instead, I ask you, what are you here for? What's going on? When I am told, at that point, my next step is to try and find out if there's anything else. And if there is, of course, you know, and as you know, Kathy, many times I find things that people just, that they knew was going on, but they had forgotten to mention, right?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes they've had an injury, you know, 2-3 years ago that, it hurt, but yet it finally went away and they've forgotten about it. And it seemingly is the reason, or part of the reason, why they have the problem they have that day they came in.
Well, exactly right. And that brings us up to what our topic is tonight, too. But we'll get into that in just a moment. But you're right. Sometimes when a person has an injury, maybe it's years ago, maybe it was an accident, maybe it was something when they were on the playground at school.
Or maybe it might be something that they have been eating. And they just had buildup of toxicity from that food or from the chemicals that were in the food that has caused a problem, accumulative.
Whatever the reason is that has given them their present condition, my next step is to go and look inside the body. And so I'll take my hands, I'll put it on their back, on their shoulders, on their neck, on their head, you know, wherever they're having the problem. And I'll look inside. And what happens for me is that within a few moments of touching them, it's as though, with my eyes closed, of course, it's as though they're transparent. I can see what's working and what isn't working, how the energy is flowing, how the tissue looks, where there are problems, where there aren't problems, and how everything is interconnected. When I see that there's a problem, what I seek to do is to go in and start putting energy into these places to, in a practical sense, to try and make a repair, to fix whatever's wrong. The mitigating circumstance, of course, as always, is that, well, it isn't my will. It's God's will. But if it's within the purview of God's will, and it's within the acceptance of the person's will that I'm working with, then quite often dramatic changes take place. And you've seen some of these, haven't you, Kathy?
Yes, I have. But one thing I want to ask you, Jerry, is you said that you go in there and fix it, and you don't know. You know, if it's God's will, that's great. If it isn't God's will, that's fine, too. How do you fix them? That's the problem. You know, that's the thing that I've found a lot of people wanting to know. When you use the phrase, fix them, quote, unquote, what does that entail?
Well, what it entails basically is this. Let's say, for example, one of my clients had a bad shoulder and wasn't able to move the shoulder. It was in a lot of pain. So what I did is I went in, I found where the problems were, and to me, fixing it is basically this. I went in, I saw what was wrong, and using this gift that I have, I was able to take the tissue that had the problem and start reworking it. In the example I'm giving, this particular person's shoulder, what I did is I went in and dematerialized, if you will, some material that was inhibiting the movement of the shoulder, and I remanifested tissue that was needing to be there for the shoulder to work correctly, and then I normalized the flow of energy that was moving through those joints. And of course, there's a lot more to it than that, because you have the length of muscles, you have tendon connections, scar tissue that was in the way. These things all have to be addressed. And as I look inside, I see these things. So in a very general way, using the word fix, well, you know, that's a generalization. But in my mind, what I'm doing is I'm taking a template, perhaps, from my own body, something that I'm familiar with, examining that, and then using that as a template to, quote-unquote, fix what's wrong with them so that it looks and acts the same as the shoulder, in this example, as the shoulder on my body. And I know it's kind of a weird term to use when you're working with people, but I don't know really what other term I could use to express what I'm doing. You know, and basically, this flow of energy, this manifestation of them going back to health, to a quality of life that they were expecting, this is really within the realm of something that I still have trouble explaining. It's God's power. It's the essence of creation itself.
So, Jerry, would you say that you use an image and you transfer it through your consciousness?
Exactly. Well, the way energy and consciousness work basically is like this. You have consciousness because you're obviously aware.
Yeah.
You also have energy, both moving through you, and then there's energy just out here in the air around us. Everything is composed of some form of energy, but that energy is moving through the open air here around us. The plants are pulling it. They're alive. Everything has energy in it, and I call this the creative force. So what I'm doing is I'm taking this energy and consciousness, my awareness, of course, intact. What's that?
Do you use intention also?
Well, intention, of course.
Yeah.
Intention is that and an emotional attachment to what you're doing.
Okay.
But this is what focuses. It's like a lens for this energy. This energy would just go however it wants to go.
Because energy is never created or destroyed. It's just changed,
right? It just flows, exactly.
Yeah.
But the one mitigating factor with energy is that it can be controlled if you are consciously aware and have intention. At that point, you can do amazing things. The only reason that I can do the things that I do is because I'm very aware of this particular principle. And that's why I try to teach it to other people. There needs to be more people like myself out here doing this. But in the effect of fixing this particular person's shoulder, what happens is that the tissue, of course, is arranged as a result of energy flowing through that area in a very specific and well-defined way. When the injury occurs, it disrupts the flow of energy, and when that disruption occurs, then the material is still, you know, the material the shoulder is made of is going to follow a new pattern. When that pattern is now interrupted or changed, then it's going to flow differently, and the shoulder is going to grow back and heal differently than it was originally, because there's no consciousness there specifically to put it back to where it's supposed to be. What I do is I apply consciousness to direct the energy to reform the pieces that I'm working with. And in about 80% of the cases, this change takes place.
That's exactly right. And I've seen so many wonderful miracles happen because of this method that Jerry uses. It's quite remarkable.
Well, it's amazing for the people that I work with as well. You know, one of the things that I have seen with all of these, I mean, there's, what would you say, maybe there's over 1,000 or maybe a couple thousand people by now.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that's a very common thread with everyone is that it's such a startling thing for them to suddenly be without this condition, whatever the condition was. Their mind has to get around it. Their mind is still expecting that there's going to be pain, for example, in this fellow's shoulder.
Right.
There's going to be, you know, this cancer in my whatever, there's going to be, you know, your mind gets around it to the point to where it's convinced the problem is there. How on earth can it be that this problem is suddenly just gone?
Or how long will it last?
Well, and that's the other concern. You know, people don't want to have a false sense of hope, and I don't blame them. I would never want to create an environment where there was a false sense of hope. It is something that you have to just allow to occur. You know, if you're listening to this and you come to see me, please understand that you have to be willing to allow something to happen. If you're holding on to this, whatever it is, to the point of exhaustion, you're not allowing it to change. Your consciousness is still intact. You're the person who's in charge of you. And if you are not going to allow this change to take place, if you're not willing to accept it, then wait until you are. You know, that's one of the main things that I see in people. But of course, and I'm sure, Kathy, you've seen this too, the people who show up to see me are usually at a point to where, number one, they either don't have any hope for anything else, or number two, they understand and they're ready to take the next step, which
right.
is the step with me.
Mm-hmm.
When a person doesn't have any hope, well, that's a very sad state of affairs to be in.
Sometimes it's just having faith in the decision that you made to come to experience something that isn't mainstream, you know, it isn't what everyone does or everyone even knows about.
Well, that's true. But more and more people are beginning to know about it. There are more doctors now who are
incorporating.
Yeah, they're incorporating this kind of, it's really a technology of sorts, but it's a technology of the soul. I have several doctors who have come to see me over the past year, both to find out if what I was doing was real and also to find out if I could help them. And, you know, I could tell you some stories about that.
Well,
maybe another time.
How about the time when you fixed the one doctor's leg?
Well, that was...
You stretched his leg to make it the same length as the other one.
Well, it's going to stretch a lot of people's belief systems to talk about this, but I guess I could just briefly address it.
It happened. It's true.
Well,
why not?
You saw it.
Yes, I did.
And, of course, the doctor saw it, too.
And he was quite happy and amazed at the same time.
Well, his leg, he was injured, and his leg, one leg was shorter than the other because of the injury. And basically what I did is I just grabbed his leg, focused energy into it. It became soft, kind of like putty.
Like the silly putty we used to play with when we were kids.
Yeah, exactly. And I just started pulling very, very gently but firmly. And I pulled, and it stretched about a half an inch, right about that.
And he commented, too. He felt the sensation.
Oh, yeah. He said that he'd never felt anything like that before. It was pretty astonishing to him. So, you know, I mean, there are some really amazing things that happen, and I know for the person who may be listening to this program, it's going to be pretty mind-blowing to think that, well, can this be true? How in the world can this be true? But all I can tell you is that there are literally thousands of people who have a better quality of life today as a result of me helping them and, you know, me being there. It was God that helped them. Let's make sure that's clear. But because I was there and willing, there were some pretty dramatic changes that took place.
So, Jerry, in your opinion, based on what you've seen in the results of your abilities to help people, what is fibromyalgia and what causes it in the first place?
What I've seen with fibromyalgia is basically this. And I've seen, I don't know how many women, maybe it's 100, maybe it's a couple hundred, I don't know. What I've seen is that, of course, when I put my hands on the woman and I look inside, I see the tissue has thickened, and of course they tell me that there's pain, and I do feel the sensations that they feel. I incorporate that into myself as well. On maybe the first two or three ladies that I worked on, I was very curious about it. I followed it back, because that's what I do, is I try to follow it back. Where did this come from? I want to know why this happened. So I followed it back, and what I found set the stage for me being able to help the rest of the women that I was asked to help, you know, when they asked me to help me. And basically, what I found is this. In every case, in every woman, I found that there was an injury to their back. It may have been recent, it may have been many years ago, but there was an injury. You see, the energy flowing through the spine, if you were to imagine like a toilet paper tube, and on the outside of the tube, the energy is spiraling upward. Think of a candy stripe, perhaps, but it's spiraling upward. On the inside of the tube, the energy is spiraling downward. And in between heartbeats, this energy pauses and restarts again. And that's what keeps the motivational force of this energy running through your body. It runs through your spine, and then at that point, it exits along different pathways on either side of your spine to go to different parts of the body. In fibromyalgia, what I discovered is that it's a thickening of the tissue. It's almost like a callus. You know, if you were to hold a hammer and start becoming a carpenter, you'd eventually get calluses on your hands.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you've rubbed and rubbed and rubbed, and the energy's been changed in that area of your hand. And as a result of the change, the tissue has thickened, and because it's thickened, now it's more like a callus. Excuse me. Now, when you have a back injury, the energy is now changed at that point where it's exiting the spine and going to wherever it's going. In many cases, it's running down the legs or into the abdomen. And as it's running into the legs and the abdomen, if it isn't at as good a spin, if it doesn't have the proper spin or the proper flow, which is the proper force, then that tissue is now being starved of energy. And the tissue is going to reciprocate. Just like on your hand with a hammer, becoming a carpenter, you've dissipated the energy around the center of your hand there, maybe on your fingers, it's formed a callus. The same thing is happening on the inside of your body. That energy is not flowing all the way through the way that it should, feeding the tissue. You know, we tend to think that the energy flows down to our kidneys, our liver, our bowels, and so on and so forth. But we neglect to think that the energy is flowing to all of the connective tissue in between all of these different organs. There are very thin membranes all over your body that depend on this energy, the right spin and the right amount of force to keep everything as integrous as possible. If that's interfered with, then what's going to happen is that tissue is going to change. And that's exactly what I've seen in every woman that I've worked with who has fibromyalgia.
So what do you do to help these women with this condition?
Well, what I do basically, in a very general way, because every person's different, but let's say, for example, I find the spot on the spine. I essentially find out what happened. And then once I find out what happened, and either by asking or just by watching the images that come off that area, then I set myself to send energy into that region so that it normalizes, so it becomes more like it should be. You know, maybe the area just above it is fine and just below it is fine. Those are two templates that I can use. And these are holographic to me. They're like floating in the air in my consciousness, so to speak. And it's just like working anything. I just cause my consciousness to focus this energy into that region. I increase the spin. I modify the shape of how the energy looks. And I increase the flow. At that point, now the energy is going to flow to these different areas with a lot more force. It's not going to be leaking out into the air like a water hose with a pinhole in it, because that's pretty much what it looks like to me, especially along the spine. It now flows to the tissue where it's supposed to go. And when that happens, the tissue reciprocates. I take it a step further, and I follow the energy flow down through to where the problem areas are. When I see where the problem areas are, then I again take more energy and I focus this energy into those problem areas to very quickly remanifest or change the tissue back to what it's supposed to be, to relieve it. Typically, it doesn't take very much to change the tissue back, because it's usually connective tissue that's gotten thick. And as soon as it gets the burst of energy that it needs, it immediately tries to normalize itself, and the body removes debris and everything changes. And within a couple of weeks at the most, the body has changed. For the more serious cases where the person's in a lot of pain, then I'll go in and I'll change the way the energy's flowing, and I'll do my best, with God's help, to remanifest the tissue into what it should be.
So how long does it usually take to set the body back into harmony?
Well, For my part, I usually do this within an hour's time. You know, as you have seen, when I work on someone, it may take 30 minutes, it may take an hour. Generally, it's around 45, 50 minutes, though, would you say?
Yeah.
And during that amount of time, the person experiences quite a few, you know, experiences from the changes. They may feel something, warmth, buzzing, some heat, pain reduction, whatever. But it usually, for my part, takes about, let's say, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
When the body takes over and it's going to repair itself, which I believe has a lot more value. I mean, if your body can fix itself, then why not? There's more wisdom in that. Your body will learn from the experience. Whether you consciously are aware of it or not, your body is always learning from experiences. If I set things right in the spine and I give a little attention to the other areas that are painful, then the body is taking over. In that particular case, I can usually predict that the body will take care of this problem, and I'll tell the person, well, you'll be fine in 2 days, you'll be fine in 2 weeks, it's going to take you 6 months. Usually I can see how long it's going to take because I can see what the problem is and how the tissue is responding. But in a very general way, I couldn't tell you and it's always going to be this or that, you know, as far as time goes.
Well, the body's basic function is to always keep itself in its optimum running order, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't say, well, I decided I'm going to be sick today. You know, it's always it's always working to strive to be the best it can possibly be.
Well, sure. But, you know, the problem that exists is this. Let's say that you're in an accident, and of course you were in an accident once.
Several times.
When you have an accident occur, what happens in the body is really quite interesting, and I've witnessed this because of how they say, quote-unquote, we have stored memories or cellular memory, but no one's really adequately explained what that means, so I'm going to try to explain that a little bit here, too. Essentially, it's this. You have an event that is startling to you. You're going to have what they call the fight-or-flight reflex, and a rush of adrenaline is going to hit your system.
Right.
Well, guess what? You're injured. That rush of adrenaline has now polarized that tissue. And the reason it happens is really simple, and it's very basic. The body has this as a mechanism to prepare it for the next time something happens. So when you have an accident, the situation is one that, oh, now you're injured, and your body is, let's say your spine is a little off this way or that. In order to protect your body, it's going to regenerate the body a little bit differently in that area where the accident was, because the adrenaline has polarized or has set the stage for the body to be in a particular circumstance as a result of the memory of the accident. Does that make sense? Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, once it's set, it's going to be very hard to undo that, because this is the way the body prepares itself for the next time. That's why you get a scar. You cut yourself, you get a scar. Yeah, try to cut that same place again. It's going to be thick and hard. It's not going to happen. To the left, to the right, maybe, but not right there.
Right.
Well, it's on the same principle as a scar, except now in this case, the scar is scar tissue. It's on the inside. And let's say, like the fellow who had a bone spur on his foot. He injured his foot.
Mm-hmm.
He fractured his foot, his heel. And he grew a bone spur. Why did the bone spur grow like that? Because it was injured, and the energy flowing off of that bone was pulling calcium ions with it, and the body was being compelled to grow in that fashion. It doesn't know any better. The body is full of consciousness, but it's not full of awareness, not in little specific areas. If it was, what an amazing thing that would be. But it's not full of awareness. So the body was pulling and creating this bone spur to the point to where it hurt so bad he couldn't stand up. So what I did, and you were there, you helped, is to tell the body, you don't do this. This isn't how it's supposed to be. So let's do things differently. And immediately the fellow's bone spur was gone.
Yes, he was amazed when he stood up. He couldn't believe it.
And he was a skeptic.
Yeah.
Quite a skeptic.
Yeah, but he ended up going and getting his old job back that he loved, and he was feeling great.
Yeah, but you see, that's how it is. And with fibromyalgia, what I've seen is that ladies have injured their back. When their back is injured, it grows back. You know, it grows to prepare itself for the next time that injury happens. But, of course, that injury is not going to happen again, not very likely. And if it does, it's going to hurt some other part of the back, because that part of the back is now pretty darn strong because it has all this growth and this firmness to it. But that's inhibiting the flow of energy. So just like the fellow with the bone spur, the fibromyalgia causes the body to react unfavorably to protect it, and in many ways.
Does the fibromyalgia also affect the lymphatic system?
Well, I would imagine that it does. And the ladies that I've seen, that I've worked with, I've noticed that the lymphatic system is a bit compromised in the areas where the tissue thickening has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's compromised to the point of danger, red danger lights going off, mm-hmm. but it is compromised all the same. Typically, when you have a lymphatic problem, it shows up in other areas. It shows itself in different ways. And, you know, as we're talking about the lymphatic system here just briefly, many of the ladies that I have that I've had sessions with, and ladies, if you're listening, pay attention to this, please. They are wearing bras that have underwire support or heavy plastic support, and they're tight, and I'm told that, you know, this is necessary, but it's squeezing off their lymphatic system. It is congesting the lymphatic system to the point to where it isn't flowing the way that it ought to.
Well, another thing with the underwire bras is when they have the metal under the breast like that, it definitely changes the energy flow, or at least has an effect on the energy flow around the breast.
Well, that's right, because it's wire.
Right.
You know, you put wire next to any living tissue, and it's going to want to do something. It's going to, of course, there's going to be an ionic exchange
mm-hmm.
between the living tissue and the metal. So you're going to have metal migrating, and a lot of times this is stainless steel. The chromium,
right.
Chromium wants to migrate, which is, you know, it can be not good. But, you know, the tissue, the energy out of the tissue is leaving the body. That piece of wire is acting like an antenna, first, to remove energy from the body, and an antenna, second, that if you're around any kind of radio waves, and who isn't, it's picking up those radio waves and retransmitting them right into the body.
Right, and also the breast really, the lymph system in the breast needs to have movement to clear and to keep moving through the system. So having a real tight bra with an underwire bra is really not the best thing for your health. There are bras that are called soft cut bras that do not have the wire, and they work just fine.
I think that would probably be a better choice. Well, let's take a break for just a moment, and when we get back, we're going to discuss something that I find very interesting, aside from our topic so far. It's on the topic of nootropics, something I think everyone would benefit from. So we'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills on Channel U.
Interested in forbidden archaeology? If so, after this program, visit Expeditions Magazine, where new light is shed on the forgotten past.
Now, hey, Tim, ain't your brother been saying that the U.S. Constitution is the law of the land?
He read that the other day.
Well, then that would mean that that's more important than the U.N. Charter now, wouldn't it?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be the law of the land if it wasn't more important.
I heard an attorney the other day say I should ask for probable cause if a cop ever pulls me over. Is that requesting authority for a stop?
And you know how worried I've been about the Earth all coming to an end like the Bible said.
Well, according to this FBI flyer, we're all terrorists. I better call right now and turn ourselves in.
Do you feel passionately about animal rights? Are you violently opposed to eco-terrorism? Do you hate abortion? Have you ever gotten into a website and you're not quite sure how? Do you sit alone in your room? Then you or your neighbor should turn you in right away to the local FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force. Do it today.
Did you know that you were federal personnel? If you aren't happy with that revelation, you can do something about it. Take action to recover control over your freedom. Understand the relevant laws that are only a click away. Learn how you were defrauded and how you can regain your sovereignty. Mail the documents that declare your independence. Go to www.theamericanrepublic.com and click on the stop sign.
Hello, everyone. We're back.
Yes, we are.
As I said before the break, we're going to be talking a little bit about nootropics, and Kathy reminded me also I wanted to talk to everyone, and so does she, about good nutrition and how important that is. I also want to take a moment to let you know about a good friend of mine who has a radio show on the Achieve Radio Network. Her name is Augie Lydell, and it's www.achieveradio.com. Augie is a two-time cancer survivor. She has a program on each Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah.
She has some fantastic guests on there, and I've got to tell you, if you haven't listened to Augie's program, you've really missed out on something special, because she's really quite a gal. She is quite a gal. So that's at AchieveRadio.com. Tune in on Thursdays. Yeah.
7 Pacific time.
Yep, 7 Pacific time. Okay, we're going to be talking now about nootropics. Just something short. I just want to stimulate your mind about this for just a moment. We'll do a show about it in the future, but I just want to mention this because I think it's important. Nootropics basically is a category of extracts that are usually, well, they're always, aren't they, plant extracts.
Yeah, I believe so.
That when taken, they take one specific part of the extract. And for in the example of galantamine, for example, they take one part of this, I believe it's the periwinkle, and just put a whole bunch of it together, you know, a whole capsule full of this one part. And what they found is nothing short of extraordinary, because they found that it removes plaque off the brain, it increases the connectivity of neurons in the brain and in the entire body, and it helps to rejuvenate, renew the liver. It does an awful lot of stuff. Anyway, I just want to give you a teaser and tell you that if you go to the internet, go to www.smart-nutrition.net, not .com, .net, smart-nutrition.net. You're going to see all kinds of different substances there that you can order. Start going down one at a time. You'll be led to where there are research articles and various pieces of information. And just start reading through this. It is extraordinary. Another website you might want to check out is CureZone.com. It's full of information as well. So let's move forward. We're going to talk about nutrition.
Well, one thing I wanted to say about the nootropics also is a good way to take care of your brain, because a lot of the nutrition you need for your brain, these supplements will help. We don't really think about taking care of our brain, but we do need to.
Well, that's true. That's very true. And I guess that is part and parcel to being in the lines of nutrition. It's brain food, folks.
Right.
But it's a type of food you've never been exposed to. And from what we can tell, from, of course, Kathy, she's been reading about this stuff, educating me, as she usually does. And from what I can tell from my reading is that a lot of this stuff has been shelved because it cannot be patented. It's still out there, but just, you know, you can imagine some fellow with spectacles on doing research in a lab, and he's going, well, there's no money in this, but look what it does. So I suggest that you look up nootropics, N-O-O-T-R-O-P-I-C-S. Look up nootropics, see what you can find out for yourself. Now, as you know, since we have been back in Phoenix the past year, it was our ambition to not only help people with the work that I do, but Kathy's part has been to help people through her research. She's been researching all kinds of toxic things in our environment, which we're going to devote an entire show to, and it may be the next show, I don't know. We'll inform you by email when the next show is going to be ready after this one. But part of what she's been looking into also has been nutrition. And she's been researching Schultz and Christopher and you know, I don't know all the names, Kathy. I mean, there are just so many different people you've looked into. Jensen is another one, yeah. You've looked into how the ancients were eating. Of course, you were down in Peru living. We were living there for a while. Mm-hmm. You were looking into what do the shaman eat? You know, what is their philosophy on what they're eating? What could you learn from them? The people in the jungle, the people in the mountains, and so forth. You came up with a new term, nutritional shamanism, which I thought was very catchy.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been researching quite a bit about nutrition. And as a result, she has come up with formulas for nutritional products that she's been putting together. We have a product called Living Food that's just packed full of stuff. There's no filler in it. It's just all absolutely good food. I know for myself, I can eat some. I can actually mix it into a drink. It's a drink mix, right?
Mm-hmm. Juice, yes.
I can mix it up in the morning around 9 o'clock, and I don't need to eat again until about 5. I'm just fine.
But you should eat before that, you know. It's not good nutrition if you don't eat it properly.
Well, I know, but yeah. I don't follow my own advice that well.
That's right, you don't. And boy, I try to get him to, but he certainly is a hard one. But, you know, Jerry just loves the taste of the living food, so if he likes it, you know, it's got to be good.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm pretty picky. And, you know, when it's kind of funny, folks, when she was working on blending these things up, of course, I was the guinea pig. So yep. I got to try some of this stuff. And, oh, my God, some of it was just absolutely rank. So, you know, if I'm drinking it, then, you know, it's going to be pretty tasty.
Yep.
So what can you tell us about nutrition, Kat, as far as, well, I'm sure everyone knows how important it is, but you have veganism, you have raw food, raw foodists, you have people who are doing the Atkins diet, you have the South Beach diet, people steaming vegetables, other people boiling vegetables. I mean, you've got all these different things out there. How's anyone supposed to know exactly what they're supposed to do? I mean, you've got so much information, and some of it's conflicting. If you were to tell people what is a really good rule of thumb that you can stick to and abide by and get good nutrition, what would you tell them?
Well, I'd tell them to start taking a lot of the processed foods out of their diet, the canned and boxed foods. Just eliminate them. And I know that that's like, well, okay, when am I going to eat? Because we are all very, very busy with our lives. And it's real easy to just grab a box of tuna helper or hamburger helper and put it all together and you're ready to go. But the things that are in the preservatives and the additives and the excitotoxins and all that that's in those boxed foods are, over a long period of time, are very harmful to your health. So that's one of the things that I would suggest, is just to start eliminating the processed foods from your diet. And eating more, try to put 50% of your daily intake of raw, fresh foods, whole foods, something that isn't processed.
And by raw foods, what are you talking about? You mean, well, I know, but for the benefit of our listeners, you're talking about food that has not been cooked, right?
Right. living food, food that has not been touched by heat.
Okay. And the living food, the product, the earth waste product, that hasn't been cooked or processed.
Right. It's all organic and, well, it's dried, you know, had the water taken out of it, but it has not been processed with heat whatsoever.
Okay. So 50% of your food, if you can make 50% of it raw.
Each day. And then try to accumulate up to about 80%, 90% a day. It wouldn't be too hard to do that. We eat too much food to begin with at one sitting. You should try to eat more snacks. By that, I mean, eat like maybe 4 or 5 times a day instead of 3 meals or 2 meals or, like Jerry, 1.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, well, he forgets to eat. He gets busy, and then he's yelling that he's hungry, and I says, well, did you eat? No.
Well, you know, the concept of snacking, I have done that off and on, and I do try to do that. The snacks that I found that work really well for me, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, like apples,
mm-hmm.
oranges, you know, that sort of nuts, fresh nuts.
Right. Yeah, well, and also, excuse me, you go through the day and you start getting tired. And what do? We grab some caffeine. Well, instead of grabbing some caffeine, a soda or a coffee or a latte or whatever, grab an apple or an orange or a pear or banana or something like that, because the fructose in that whole food will feed your brain and get you energized a lot quicker and stay with you a lot longer and be so much more healthy for you. Plus you're getting your vitamins and your minerals and everything you need to keep your body going in a healthy way.
Well, the use of these items, and then the use of some of these supplements that you've come up with,
mm-hmm.
it seems to me, of course, that if you were doing that, you would end up getting more nutrition and fewer calories and still being completely satisfied, right?
That's exactly right, yes.
And, of course, I know you showed me some research that suggests that if you have fewer calories and higher nutrition, it's actually much more healthy. Your body can use the nutrition more effectively.
Exactly right, because it's not using all its energy to try to process and digest all the heavy foods, the fried foods, the, you know, starches and carbohydrates that
sure.
we eat.
Sure.
From the fast food and the processed food and the heavy meats and stuff. You should really try not to eat red meat.
Well, the other thing, too, and I agree with you on the red meat, I mean, God only knows what might be in it. And by that, I mean, you go to the website with the Mad Cowboy and read his information, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But it seems to me also that, you know, there are some things you could be eating that would give you so much energy that you really wouldn't get that fatigued. You know, one of the things that happens in our world today is that people have a tendency just to sit a lot
mm-hmm.
and sit and work. I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather be out, you know, exploring somewhere in South America.
Yeah, me too.
But we sit a lot, and then we lose muscle tone. So I think maybe besides the nutrition, maybe exercise is a good...
Oh, yeah. Exercise is so important. You know, we have the industrialization of our country and our culture has caused us to be more, you know, at jobs that we sit more, just use, you know, at factory jobs, whatever. I've done those for quite a few years. And it does make a huge difference because you don't have the circulation in your body. And also we're working inside more than we used to, so that makes a big difference because we're not getting nutrition from the sun.
Right. Well, a lot of the people that I work with, I see the effects of that kind of lifestyle. And you know what happens is that a lot of times a person finds themselves gaining weight, and they're not feeling like they won't even want to go out and do any exercise. They feel like they look terrible, they're tired,
yeah.
and they've gained weight, and they don't want to gain more, so they start drinking diet pop and using artificial sweetener in their coffee or their tea.
Slim Fast.
Or drinking Slim Fast with aspartame in it.
And carrageenan.
Yeah, and these are a couple of ingredients that are just hugely detrimental to a person's body. Of course, anyone can go on the website, or the search engines, I should say, and look up aspartame and type in poison right behind it, and then take a look at the many thousands of pages out there that will tell you everything about how aspartame is extremely dangerous for you. And I've seen it in many of the clients that have come through here, how it's damaged them. And then also you have the carrageenan that's used as a thickener. That's in Slim Fast.
Yeah, that's a red seaweed.
And it breaks down into very long, needle-like fibers, and that's why it's a thickener. But when it gets in your body, what happens?
Well, it can perforate your intestinal wall and cause problems there. Plus, it'll also migrate to your breast tissue and take up house there. And then, you know, several years later, what do you got? You got fibrous tumors or whatever, and a dis-ease of the breast tissue. Or the lymphatic system, too, slows down due to not having enough exercise because you've gained weight.
Yeah, exactly right. Gosh, there's just so much we could talk about.
Yeah.
I think this program is going to be really useful, something that people will be able to tune into and listen to and refer their friends to. Because we're going to get into a lot of these things, folks, in more detail. I'm sure that you're wondering, you know, what else is there? And, you know, one of the things that I was up against the wall with, because Kathy had me for a few weeks just eating no cooked food, all raw, and it was all vegetables and fruits and nuts and so forth. It wasn't like I was eating raw meat or something.
No, but we didn't eat meat.
No, we didn't eat meat. Not at all.
We got all our protein from our vegetables and our nuts and our seeds. It was basically what you call a mucusless diet.
Exactly. And I have to tell you, I felt better than I had felt in years. But it's not easy to stay there. At least it wasn't for me.
Well, especially what we did was we just were fanatics about it. We completely cut off what the lifestyle we had as far as what our diet was, and completely, you know,
we just radically changed it.
Yeah, 180 change.
One day we decided, my good friend Charlie Mort, who's a raw foodist, he said, Jerry, you've got to stop eating like this. It's going to kill you. I said, oh, well, all right. So I tried it. I did exactly as he said. Kathy, of course, she's the brains behind making sure it all happened the way it should have. And we ate like that for a couple of weeks. And, man, I got to tell you, it was great.
It was like 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, Jerry just said, you know what? I just have to have a hamburger. I just have to. And I'm going to go down to Sonic right now, and I'm going to have myself a cheeseburger.
I'm embarrassed. I better go hide.
Well, the next day he felt horrible.
I did.
He felt horrible.
Yeah, I did.
And why did you feel horrible, Jerry?
I just felt bad.
Because it was another radical change to what you were doing.
My system wasn't used to that sort of thing again.
So what we decided we were going to do was do it slowly. And when you do something, you exchange. Like I found things for, like mayonnaise, for instance. I don't use Miracle Whip anymore, but I use something called, oh, gosh, I can't remember what it's called. Viennese?
Veganese,
that's what it's called. And it's great. It tastes great. And you know, Jerry doesn't even know the difference.
You can't tell the difference.
Can't tell the difference.
And I'm someone who likes good mayonnaise.
Mm.
Whole Foods, you know, mayonnaise, whoever makes it. It's just real good food. I love the taste of that stuff.
Yeah, it's
but
pretty good.
This Veganese, it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
You know, before we wrap up, I also want to address one other thing. As one of the supplements we just recently got in, you know, from our time in Peru, we saw a lot of stuff down there. We saw quite a few different foods that the shaman and some of the people who live in the mountains and so forth, that they eat. And we recently got in a supply of something called maca, M-A-C-A, maca. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it because there's just so much I could say. But if you haven't tried maca, you're missing out. You've got to try this. We have the most pure organic maca on the face of the earth right now. We have it. We have a good supply of it. It's certified internationally as well as nationally as being absolutely pure. This is powdered maca. We have it in jars.
We have it in capsules and in bulk.
That's right. And it's phenomenal. It really is phenomenal. It gives you lots of energy. You feel good. It just brings you right up to a point where you feel really, what I would say, better than normal. It just gives you plenty of energy. Plus, it's really good as a libido booster.
So it helps to balance your hormones.
It does. It helps to balance your hormones, men and women alike.
Right.
So it's something we add to the living food drink in the morning.
And it's got a lot of nutrition in it. It's got a lot of the minerals and vitamins and stuff, too, that you need throughout your day.
Sure.
It's a good thing to put in your smoothie drink in the morning with the living food.
Yep, that's exactly right. Well, I hope this program has been informative for you. We're going to call it a day at this point. Depending on the feedback we get, we're going to, of course, get another program going. So,
and I'd like to say that if you have any questions or comments, please email us.
Yeah, you can email us at just the letter J at jerrywills.com. Or if you want to email something to Kathy, K-A-T at jerrywills.com.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
It will get to Kat. If you ask us questions or you have a topic you'd like for us to cover, just let us know, and we will certainly address it here. I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, stay healthy. I'm Jerry Wills.
And I'm Kathy Wills.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
You're listening.